Do you know that the sons of God in the days of Noah looked down from their heavenly abode and they got carried away, attracted by the daughters of men? So the sons of God left their abode, they left their place. They descended to marry the daughters of men. And this abominable union is what brought about the giants of those days. It's what brought about the violence and the exceeding wickedness that abounded in the days of Noah. The sons of God have their place in the spirit, in heavenly places, in celestial places. The sons of God are spirit. They are not men. They are not mortal men. They are not born of flesh and blood, but these are sons of God. And a son of God stays married to God's kingdom. He's married eternally to God's eternal, invisible kingdom. So the sons of God are not meant to unite with the daughters of men. That union is what we term fornication or adultery, spiritually speaking. Because we are one spirit with the Lord. We are married to the name of the Lord eternally. When you leave that union to be married to the daughters of men, which is the systems of men, hallelujah, you lose out on your place in God's kingdom. And that union, the seed of that union, is the mighty man of the flesh. That is the giant. That is the boastful man of the flesh. That is the corrupt man of the flesh that opposes and stands against anything that is God. The mighty man is absent from the presence of God, is absent from the beauty and the glory of God. And is constantly carried on. He follows that steep path into death. Remember what happened in the days of Noah? What happened to the giants? They were all destroyed. They were all drowned with the floods of illusion, with the lies, the deceitfulness, and the darkness that littered this world. They were carried away with the flood, and they all died and perished. But Noah in that day got a revelation of what the Lord was doing. He found grace because he was able to receive from the Lord. And that grace catapulted him back to the peak of the highest mountain, which is an allegory of Mount Zion, the place or the dwelling place of the Son of God, the place where the Father may be found. That is God's kingdom. Back into the invisible, he ascended back into the glory of God. We're speaking here in allegories. You see, our communication is spiritual. See, when we read the book of the Bible and when we see things in the natural, because of that Spirit of God in us, we are able to perceive things deeper, in a deeper sense than a natural man will perceive it. The Bible, like we know, is much more than a storybook. It's not a history book, it's not a religious book. It's all secrets, revealing secrets that pertain to deity, the mystery of deity. All men today, like the sons of God, who descended from their first estate, descended from their abode in the heavens, all men today have descended, they have transgressed against the Lord. All men are falling short of the glory of God. They've all become corrupt. They've all become fools. Not one is wise. Not one has understanding. Their hearts are darkened. Not one. All men are falling short of the glory of God. But through the evangel, through the gospel that we hear today, we have access back into that glory upon the peak of Zion. Praise God. We all descended, and somehow we have all married ourselves to mortality. We've married, in ignorance, we married ourselves to a world that does not truly exist. We married ourselves to the vain glories of this world. We married ourselves to a dimension that is not of God. And we started to walk in shadows, in darkness. See it. In our descent, we formed the man of the flesh, who cannot in any way, please God, who cannot in any way be subject to the ways of God. A corrupt man, full of bitterness, anger, greed, lusts, and every evil thing you can imagine. A man of sin. But God is showing us a way to escape now, exactly the way Noah escaped. Noah represents the Son of God, who will receive from God and rediscover himself ruling and reigning in God. Praise God. Today we have the possibility, we who receive from above, who are able to receive from the Father, we have the possibility, the power to return back to that first estate as sons of God, ruling and reigning in all power and in all majesty. To those that have believed, he has given them power to become sons of God. See, to those who have received him, receiving from the Lord, receiving the things of the Father, the receiving the things of the Spirit is what empowers us and causes us to attain to that perfect state of the Son of God. He has given us power to become Son of God. The Son of God is complete. He does not need any other thing. When you are the Son of God, you rule and you reign. Everything works for your good. Everything is yours. You rule. You rest. See, but it is in the receiving that we can return back to that estate. Noah received from God. He received from God. Praise God. He received the things of God. That is why he was able to escape the corruption and the destruction in these days. While the others were going about receiving the things of men, Noah received the things of God. See, when you receive the things of men, it ties you to mortality. It ties you to vanity. It ties you to the visible. It ties you to the material world. That's when you receive the things of men. But when you receive the things of God, It liberates you from a corruptible nature. It lifts you up out of the miry clay, from the pit of humanity, and sets your feet once more on the rock, which is that eternal place, Mount Zion. Receiving from the Father causes you to retain your stature as the Son of God, the begotten of God. Oh, hallelujah. For we are all one body in that light, in that incorruptible word that created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. It gives you the power to return to that glorious estate, free from sin, free from a lustful nature, free from the powers of death and hell and sorrow and pain and all these things we see in this world. Free, totally free. It comes by receiving the things of the Father, receiving from God. Praise God. Now there are certain things that we hear will shock us, and there are certain things that men to this very day do not understand about the gospel. Praise God. If we turn quickly to the book of John chapter 16 verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Praise God. You will receive the things of God as the Spirit within us reveals them to us. It streams from the heart of God and illuminates our very understanding. This thing might shock you, but the things of God are pure spiritual things. Praise God. The Bible says that God has given the earth to the sons of men, but the heavens are his. The things of God pertain to God's kingdom. It pertains to spirit. It pertains to the invisible. Those are the things of God. That's why I say it will shock you. See, God's kingdom is not a material kingdom. It's not a physical creature. It's a spiritual kingdom that filleth all in all. In that spiritual kingdom is the powerhouse of creation. That is the power that maintains and creates and regenerates and causes everything to function. Praise God. So once more, as we open our ears to receive the things of God, we are illumined and granted access into God's world, God's kingdom. It loosens us from the grip of mortality. You know that it's mortality, it's your natural sense of life, your life as a human being, that actually acts as a barricade between you and the glory of God. You know, it's your life as a mortal that causes you to stumble day and night, that you can't please God. Because it is impossible for those that are in the flesh to please God. This world talks about those that are in the flesh. This realm, this dimension in which men live in, is the realm of the flesh. That is the realm that man lives in. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that are in flesh cannot be subject to God. The giants or the mighty man of the flesh cannot be subject to God. Praise God. For this reason, we must be liberated from the flesh. We must be liberated from the flesh realm. We must be liberated from that illusion that we have some kind of attachments to this world. We must get that thing clear, that this world that you see does not exist. It exists, but not in the way we men perceive it. We're talking of men, not in the way mortal man perceives it. Praise God. The mortal man is not aware that that which is in the natural is simply a reflection of that which is in the spirit. It's only a parable of the spirit. The natural has no meaning without understanding the spirit. Praise God. So the things of God, the things of the Father, comes to educate you, comes to lift you up into the reality of God's invisible kingdom. In construct the things of men, which is actually the things of Satan, the things of this world, bind men to a corruptible nature. See it? These are the things that cause men to err and to stumble. Lust, the corruption and all the warnings and all the things we see in this world is simply because men are attached to the natural outer creation. Why? Because they began to receive of the things of men. In the days of Noah, when the sons of God descended to marry the daughters of men, it simply means that they came to embrace the traditions of men. They came to embrace the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of man is simply carnality. It's simply satanic. The wisdom of man is darkness. Because the eye of a man, a natural man, does not see far off. It only sees things that are not. It sees images, vanity. That is the eye of the natural man. For this reason, they are corrupted. They are warring here and there, bitterness, anger, hate, lust. Just think of it. All the wars in this world today, it's all for control of resources. The men think that they can probably lay hold on something and onto their name or whatever after the flesh. But they do not get the revelation that these things that we see only reflect that which is invisible. Praise God. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. After you've made your war, after you've gone bitter, and you pass away, the Lord still remains. See, try to make your investments as, you know, as good as you want. Try to bury your money underneath the sand as you want. Didn't the pharaohs of Egypt do that? They all try to kind of preserve their treasures in there. But where are their treasures today? Do they still have power over them? No. But the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. The gold underneath the earth, the oil underneath the earth, the creatures in the sea and above the sea, the riches, you know, in the forest and everywhere, everything belongs to the Lord, and it never changes. So you can see that man is subject to vanity. He's subject to vanity, but as he comes back to his senses and he begins to receive from the Lord, receive the things of God, he's delivered from the power of death. Praise God. When Jesus Christ tried to explain to the disciples that he was to be crucified and he will rise in it after the third day, he was explaining to the disciples the things that he must suffer in the hands of men. And you know, Peter, with good intentions, according to the wisdom of man, took Jesus aside and tried to rebuke Jesus, telling Jesus not to go to the cross, telling Jesus that, you know, how dare you say such a thing? Obviously, to the natural man, what Peter did looked correct. After all, he was trying to save the human life of Jesus. You see, but Jesus Christ had a revelation of truth, which Peter did not. That is why Jesus Christ turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." I just read Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things of God, for thou sorest not the things of God, but those that be of men." So you can see that the things of men are the things of Satan. Oh, hallelujah. Those things that are highly esteemed by men, the traditions of men, their orderly arrangement, their wisdom that ties them to a material age, to the outer, to the flesh, it's all of Satan. And these are the things that lead a man to death, that lead a man to sorrow and destruction. Jesus Christ continued and said, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto the disciple, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my name's sake shall what? Find it." Hallelujah. What he's saying is that if you hold on to your life, your human life as a mortal, if you hold on to your life as those giants upon the earth, the man of the flesh, who is, you know, privy, bankrupt with the conscious knowledge of God, if you hold on to the flesh, if you hold on to that identity, you will lose it. Remember what happened to the giants in the days of Noah? They were all destroyed. Those are those who hold on to their life, those who continue in the illusion of their carnal identities. Those who walk in the flesh shall all what? Perish. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. Praise God. But those who lose their life on account of Christ, the Spirit, the Son of God, the begotten of God, those who lose their life on the earth, let go of the illusion of their carnal life to take a hold on eternal life, they shall find it. You shall find it in an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that never passes away. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ further says that what shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man. Now let's stop there. See it? You see the foolishness here? The sons of God descended from heaven. They saw and loved the daughters of men. He talks about the glories of this world, the glories of men. Remember, Jesus Christ had the same temptations. He was tempted of Satan. That only if he will worship him, only if Jesus will worship Satan, he will give him the glories of this world. So that is the temptation that he always dangles. That's the carrot the devil dangles before the face of his would-be victim, before men. A majority of the people are carried away, swept away with that deception. The urge to gain this world, the urge to be recognized, the urge to be seen by men and to receive praises by men and to be exalted by men and to gain this world. And the more you do these things, you only go, the more you sink into destruction and misery. This was the same temptation of Adam. The temptation was, you know, to gain this world, to gather unto himself, to make a name of himself, to become wise, and to ascend above the stars of God. And this is the temptation that operates. This is the spirit that operates in the world today. That's why there is warring, you know, conflicts of interest here and there, bitterness. You hear of a sister killing a brother, or a brother killing a sister over inheritance, and covetousness rules this atmosphere, rules this world. Worrying over, you know, a couple of diamonds underneath the ground, worrying over oil. This is the wickedness that rules in this world. Remember during the days of Jesus Christ, some brothers came up to Jesus. They had a dispute over inheritance, and Jesus Christ, they walked up to Jesus Christ seeking the advice of Jesus. You know, the laws of Moses deals with inheritances. And they brought this, their case to Jesus, knowing that Jesus Christ was a teacher from God. And Jesus Christ, you know, shunned them. Jesus Christ, you know, shunned them and told them, look, who made me judge over you? And he warned them to beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. Covetousness to gain this world. Covetousness for the glories of this world. Beware of covetousness, because this is the thing that destroys men, that corrupts men. Beware of covetousness. Praise God. Beware of covetousness. Learn to walk in the spirit. Let your heart and your treasure be in the heavens. This is the temptation that rules in this world today. But it shall not be so for those who receive the things of the Spirit. Those who have left all to follow Christ. Once you receive the things of the Spirit, once you receive the things of God, not the things of man, not the wisdom of man, which is darkness, but receive the wisdom of God, which is light, which is spirit, you find yourself ascending into the place of life and abundance and great glory and power. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Receiving the things of the Spirit. Few moments later, Jesus Christ says, some of you here will not taste death. You see this in verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of God coming in his kingdom. You see, some people standing here will not taste of death. Some of you standing here will never die. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Now, these are the secrets of the gospel. that you can never hear being preached in the church. You can never hear in the public. Only a handful, you know, people are able to perceive this mystery that we are speaking about here. See, some of you will never taste death. Death is not just leaving the physical body. Death is that dimension of sorrow and pain where you are cut off from the life of God. So you can come to a place where you continue. You never die. Even if you leave your tabernacle, even if you leave your body, you continue because you live according to the Spirit. You live already in the Spirit, in the invisible. And you are constantly in the presence of God where you have the fullness of joy. Where nothing that offends or makes a lie can enter. You live there, you dwell there. You continue there throughout all eternity. In that dimension, things never change. Those who receive the things of God will be liberated from death. A few moments later, Jesus Christ went up to a mountain and transfigured before the disciples. All these are in order to show you how it is for those who reject the things of Satan, reject the wisdom of men, the wisdom of this age, to take a hold on the wisdom of God, the celestial spiritual wisdom. These are the ones who will shine as the morning stars. These are the ones who will come back to the place of exceeding favor and power. They rule and they reign in Christ. Praise God. Receiving the things of God. We just have to say in our minds, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou knowest not the things of God, but the things that be of men, of mortal men. See, it's that spirit that rules in this age, that walks in the sons of disobedience. That's the spirit of Satan. See, it blinds the eyes of men so that they are subject to vanity. Vanity, that's why they war with each other. That's why there is bitterness. There is hate. There is the root of bitterness because the eye is not single. The eye, you know, is focused on the earth. Praise God. That's why we have the Spirit of God today. Principally speaking, the Spirit of God is to give us the things of God. See, not according to the wisdom of this age. For we know that the wisdom of this age is coming to naught daily. It's a continuous process. It's continuously coming to naught. See, everything that you seek to attain to or achieve as a man comes to naught. It has no eternal value. See, but when we receive of the Spirit, we can begin to make sense of our lives. Oh, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about that wisdom of God. That mystery, that hidden wisdom which the Lord has given to us. It gives this thing to us through the Spirit. See it, which none of this world, the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified Jesus. See, when you speak according to the wisdom that is celestial, it goes against the wisdom of this world. So you can see those that are spiritual can never be in accord with those who are natural, with those who are carnal. They don't agree. They see things from a different perspective. See, Jesus Christ was counted a blasphemer. See, he was counted a heretic, a liar, one who incited the children against his parents, one who caused unlawlessness, because he came to reveal the truth, the things that be of God. These are the things that are hidden from men. Praise God. Eyes have not seen, neither has ears heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But we We see these things today. We enter into them. We partake of them. As we receive the Spirit of God. As we receive from the Father. Receive celestial wisdom. As we receive truth. We are elevated into a dimension of pleasures. We are elevated into, you know, the Eden of God. The paradise of God. Where there is no more sorrow, no more pain. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Because the Spirit of God, that which supplies us, teaches us everything that is of God. All things that are of God. He teaches us the things that be of God. So that we can be partakers of the divine nature of God and the things that be of God. See, there's no point trying to be good as a man. You cannot be good as a man. They've tried to be good for ages in the church system, in religious systems, in moralistic institutions of men. They've tried to be good. Isn't it? They've tried to tame man with laws, state laws, government laws, traditions of men. They've all tried to kind of regulate men and bring about a refined product called man. But these things are not possible. We can be partakers of the divine life of God only as we receive the Spirit, as we receive the things that be of God. And these things are pure spirit. They are pure spiritual things, so that to the man without, you look like a fool. To the man who is watching you from without, at times you look like a fool because you lose all to gain that which is invisible. You know, I remember I was preaching with an elderly man who has been very successful, materially speaking. He's got made a lot of money and he was very successful. And he told me he understood the message. Don't think that people don't understand this message when he preaches. Some people understand this thing, but they just hold back. And the man told me, look, he was really moved by the message. He saw that it was real. In fact, the Lord showed him signs, visions, and he knew that what I was preaching was true. Now, he now told me now, but what can I, how, after all that I've labored for, what will become of all I've labored for? See, he was concerned that what will happen to all that he has gathered for himself if he is to follow the gospel. You see, but one thing people don't realize is that when you come into the God's kingdom, when you enter into this dimension, the power that created the heaven and the earth is at your disposal. Now, very few people walk in this realm. Very few people have attained to this place. There are very lot of talkers, a lot of people who talk, a lot of people who write books, but very few people have attained to the place of absolute power. Absolute authority, where you actually rule and reign. In that dimension, you do not have a need for bank accounts. You don't have a need for savings for tomorrow. Your bank account is in the spirit. Your bank account is in the presence of God. Because herein lies the power to provide for all your need and to sustain you daily. See, the man of the spirit lives by the power of God. Hallelujah. So that acquiring whatever you need is not a problem. You get my point? It's not a problem. Your very needs will be supplied according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. That same power that created the heavens and the earth works in you. Very few people can have understood this mystery, that with God all things are possible. Praise God. When man ruled and reigned in Christ, he never had a thought for tomorrow. What will he eat? What will he wear? How will he survive? All those thoughts started to come in when man fell. See, it's trying to secure some kind of pension for your future and all those things started when man descended. Praise God. There's only one thing to worry about, and that is to attain to the place of the Son of God. To attain to the stature of the fullness of the Son of God. That is all that matters. Hallelujah. That is what will clothe you. That is what will feed you. And that is what will maintain you throughout all eternity. Praise God. Have you wondered where those angels that come get their food from? Those angels that walk as men, where they get their clothes from to walk? Have you wondered? Have you wondered, you know, where those three angels that appeared to Abraham, where they got their clothes from? Or do you think they walked naked up to Abraham? That is the same power that maintains you. That power that maintained thousands of people in the wilderness for 40 years. That same power maintains you. See, these ones, they did not have to put up reserves in barns that will sustain them for 40 years. But they were supplied on a daily basis by faith. By faith in the living one. Praise God. That same power and that same faith will sustain those who attain to this place of all power and all glory. Oh, hallelujah. It's a place of beauty and joy. It's a place of all power. Hallelujah. If you have the all power, you don't need to go about playing pranks for survival. The power will sustain you. Praise God. So, but first of all, we must receive the things of God, which are spiritual things, celestial things, things that pertain to the spirit, things that pertain to our life in the spirit, our life in the Son of God, who is spirit. Praise God. When we partake of the things of men, we are corrupted. See, Jude says that when we observe things naturally as brute beasts, we corrupt ourselves. See, when you live according to the natural senses, you simply corrupt yourself. You corrupt yourself and lose out on your inheritance in God's kingdom for vanity. Remember the story of Esau, that's the brother of Jacob, who lost out on his inheritance for a plate of porridge. He forsook his inheritance just to have a plate of porridge to satisfy his momentarily, you know, needs. That need for that moment. He forsook his inheritance. How dare we forsake our inheritance for temporal things? Things that have no eternal value. For the temporal pleasures of sin. For the temporal glories of this world. How dare we forsake our inheritance in God's kingdom? Praise God. Let us begin to receive once more from God. Receive truth. Receive truth and let this truth lift you up. Receive that wisdom from God. That wisdom that is ordained for, you know, for our glory. Jesus Christ has said it. Everything that is, you know, is the Father's is mine. And all that I have is the Father's. It is just that spiritual wisdom. That wisdom is spirit. God is spirit, is air. Hallelujah. Wind. Hallelujah. When you enter back into the spirit, into the wind, when you receive that celestial wisdom and loosen yourself, you will discover that everything is beautiful. Everything, you know, flows to you. Everything ministers to you. The beauty and the glories of this world minister to you. There's a light creation, beautiful, sparkling out there that is hidden from men. Beautiful creation, wonderful. You behold the majesty of the King and you stand in awe, worshiping with thankfulness for the rest of your life. So the hour has come, brethren. Let us receive the things of the Spirit, receive the things of God, and turn our back on the things of men. See, when we receive the things of men, like the sons of God, we descend. Our understanding is darkened. seat and we lose our place as sons of God. We die as men. But when we receive the things of God, we escape the corruption that is in this world. Sit, and we are lifted back into the place of life. Hallelujah. Our feet back into the gates of Zion, the place of singing and joy. It's a wonderful thing. Let us meditate. Sit, asking for the power to receive wisdom from heaven to understand these words I have been spoken today. Yes, let us receive from the Father. Yes, let the vanity of this age not be our portion, but let us receive the things that pertain to life and godliness from the Father in this hour. God bless you. Amen.